Okay, Luke chapter 9, verse 27. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. We studied truth yesterday. Taste is an interesting word. It's geomai, and it means normally, it means to taste, but it's a metaphor for to experience. And so it has to do with the word becoming flesh in you. But let's look at a few of these. Let's go to, let's start in Hebrews. Hebrews 2. Verse 8, for thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus. Now, what does that mean?
It's outside of time, inside of time.
When we look, we've gone through this many times, but I'm not too sure from watching and hearing the talk that you see it. Wherever we look, we must see the perfection of His holiness. We must see that everything is perfect. We must see that we've been perfected by one offering. We must see that you own all things, that all things exist for your purpose, for His purpose. Now, the only way you're going to do that is this metaphor, to taste. And we'll see that more clearly, but no. So if we don't see, if there's something that you don't see under him, then by faith you must see him. Do you understand? Do you see something wrong? Do you see lack? Then if you see that, then by faith you see Jesus, which means that it's under his control. You got it? What? Every time you shake your head yes, that means you're not getting it.
No,
or you're seeing something else.
What I saw is like, I related to living my life. And when you said seeing lack, it's like I've got jobs that are big coming up, start the day. And I say in the morning, oh, how am I going to do this? You know, it's like I have this job to do. And it's because I'm seeing black that I say that. And I forget that it's outside of my abilities.
Well, it's not only seeing lack. For that moment, your works are leading you instead of following you.
Yeah. And I stay in that place until faith presents itself and I see something different. But the minute I see it, I'm in the rest. But there are those moments of, oh crap, how's this going to work?
No, I'm not. We could spend a lot of time on that. I'm not going to. All right. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God should taste death for every man. He tasted death for every man. In other words, he experienced death. We got to start at the beginning here, otherwise we're not going to understand this. Go to Genesis 2. Start in verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Adam died the moment he ate the apple. Now in the Hebrew language, what it says, instead of thou shalt surely die, it says in dying thou shalt die. And what does that mean?
Slowly, as we're slowly heading toward the death, we're sort of degenerating or denigrating as we head that way?
We're already dead. We're not heading toward the dead.
What does it mean? In dying, thou shalt die. I don't understand that.
In dying, you have no hope. You're eternally separated. He was dead.
Yeah.
Well, but he was dead. He got to see that. Nothing he did had any merit.
Right, but he did stuff. It's just that separation was the definition of the death. Because his body moved, his heart pumped, all that people call alive. And that's true in the world, that's alive. But the death was the...
Yeah, but the only way you'll see that it's true death is that you have to see the futility and emptiness of everything that happened thereafter.
So you realize your death through that.
Right. So what happened with Abel, by him seeing that there had to be the blood in the offering, and so he saw his death and the death of the sheep. And because he saw his death, he saw the day of Christ. The I Am. Now we run around and think we're alive. We've got all kinds of opinions and concerns and worries. But they're all illusions. All. That's what the word vanity really means. You're either everything you do, or we do, and after anything you do in time and space is except repent, is essentially just the dead man walking. Has no merit. And that's hard to believe. It's hard to see. You see it all the time, but your mind will never accept it. Now that was my experience. Again, that's why I studied so much, to see that that can't be true. What I saw in my conversion experience can't be true.
Which part in particular?
That I was a walking dead man.
God was your... I mean, you saw a lot of things.
Right, but the predicate of it was, therefore, anything I do, any opinion I have, is meaningless. You can, and the way you do, the way you resurrect the evil one from the deadly head wound is by thinking or concerning yourself with something that you're doing. Having opinion about something in time and space. You resurrect the evil one from his deadly head wound. And this is the most important thing you'll ever hear, if you can understand it. You're already dead. But then you accept that death, and it's certified in baptism, but once you give importance to you, then you've resurrected that evil one. And so it's no longer I that live. It's either the evil one or Christ. There's no I in the picture. You don't have an opinion. The evil one has an opinion. You don't have a concern. The evil one has a concern to keep you separate, to keep you alone. But you have to see that Adam died when he ate the apple and had no hope for resurrection. In dying, you shall surely die. Well, that was, yeah. He saw, the only time he saw any hope was the resurrection of Christ in him. That's the, for the whole of Adamic race from then on.
Yeah, same thing we see.
Nothing has changed. But otherwise, you will constantly walk giving breath to the evil one and wondering why God isn't. Well, that's why you lose your first love. You lose that sense of presence. I don't know if you understand. Okay, let's go back. Let's go back to Hebrews 6.
You know, this whole conversation, death doesn't interpret correctly for me that separation says it right. Because death only means there's nothing alive in you.
Right. There is nothing alive in you.
Right. And yet you're moving around.
No, the evil one is moving around.
I don't care who it is. It's moving around and it fools you into thinking, well, if it's moving around, it must be alive. Mind's interpretation of life is something moving, it's alive. But separation says it right, because I don't care if it's moving around, it has not the Spirit of God, which is life. So it's, I'm just telling you.
Yeah, I understand, but it's still important to see you're not in the picture either way. You're not there. No, the fake you, what you call you is never existed. Gary, in his you-ness, has never existed.
Okay, that's the illusion.
Right.
Yeah.
This.
We're hard to maintain that illusion.
Well, but the mind will try to keep that illusion. If you don't see that you've never existed, the mind will start trying to, will fool you constantly. There's no revelation.
Yeah.
This is as big as it gets in terms of how you look at life.
Yeah. Because now you're told to abandon all of that, which to self is not illusion, it's all of your reality. And so it's total illusion, but you don't interpret it that way. It's like even talking last night about it. And it's like the mind is all you've got to work with to even think about this stuff, and yet now we've got to abandon all of it.
Right. Again, remember, you cannot use. You understand the curse.
Yeah.
That's the thing that most people say the original sin is sex. That's even taught in churches.
Yeah.
No, the original sin is the tasting of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And at that point, your ancestors, all of our, everybody died. There was no long, so at that point, the evil one resurrected himself from the deadly head wound, and everybody that's been alive since then never has been. It's the evil one in his myriad forms that has invented something called you, something called your mother, something called your father, something called everything, something called whoever hero you have. That was the evil one inventing it. Just like you've invented yourself. You can't understand this until you admit that you've invented yourself. It's big. Otherwise your mind, because your mind is constantly trying to keep you in the picture. Now, please, if you don't understand this, say something. If you want to discuss it, say something. But don't sit there and not understand it, or have some questions and don't say anything. Because then you will never go any further past this point. You can't.
Because understanding is just the door. Now see what you do.
Well, if you don't understand this, you'll constantly live your life just like every other Gentile, and you'll be tricked into believing this other horseshit. John? Really? This is the baseline.
Yeah, and if you don't understand this, there's no reason to lay your life down. It's just a gamble at that point. I'll try it for a while, see if it works. Something like that. But I think that's why death is so permanent.
All right, let's go to Hebrews 6. Maybe this will help. This will either help or scare the crap out of you. You've experienced it. That's why we're studying this word taste.
The word taste.
He tasted death for every man. Now you must taste that same death. Otherwise your life is an illusion. It's just a friggin' video game. This is the point. Harry, we just studied this in Bananas, and it was intense. We went at it for about a week. And that's when Harry invented this saying, consider the possibility that everything you know, everything you've ever learned, everything you've ever thought is wrong. That's the basis of this book. There are no heroes. There's nobody smart. There's nobody intelligent. There's nobody. They're just. And we have all these things we do to try to give the illusion of life. We have champions and we have stars and we have celebrities and we have baseball and football all these things that give life, give it the illusion. This is why in ancient Hebrew or ancient Judaism, there were no, the only, if you will, acting that you had to be involved in it, and that was Purim. And it was a melodrama, so everybody was involved. There was no spectator sports, there were no dramas, there were no plays, because everything that happened, you had to be involved in it. You had to be doing it, not watching it. Because everything in life has to be experienced by you, not by gaining sustenance from watching somebody else experience it. Because then you will never know the emptiness of it, because you intuitively, you think that's something good. All right, let's watch this. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, when we're made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Now, this will either cause you to understand the mystery or scare the hell out of you, which was necessary to understand the mystery.
Yeah.
Now what?
I had a friend once from Christ for the Nations who read that, was convicted by it, thought he had done it, and left the church.
That's probably the best thing that could ever happen to him. This is why it's so critical that you've pushed everything to the edge. Because to see that it's death, you have to see that there's no there. Otherwise, you will gain sustenance and satisfaction from that imagery. That's why God gave us the capacity either to experience it or to empathize. That's why the Seders exist. So there's an openness so that you can empathize if you haven't experienced it.
That doesn't change anything, but that does help, because it's impossible to say empathize without something going on that you can pretend at least has something to do with thought.
No, I disagree.
It's come back to something I've said before, and I'll say again. It may be evil, but this is the only thing I have to think with, is what's between these two ears. I have to, at the end of every thought, say, okay, this is bullshit, and give it up. But I couldn't get there if I didn't do something with it.
Yeah, but here's the point. The only thing, I used to think I wanted to be a doctor. When I was a kid, because it was just assumed, because I hang around with doctors and doctors' kids, and my mother was a nurse. And so I started watching surgeries when I was 13 years old. And I watched a few surgeries, and I said, okay, I don't want to be a doctor. Now, I didn't have to go through the process of experience it, but I visualized it, therefore empathy was critical.
And even the Abraham thing, I don't want to do this anymore.
Right.
That's cool, but I mean, that requires
You, but it doesn't require.
You couldn't have done it.
Yeah, I know, but you have to come to the end of your.
Well, this has always been the confusing thing for me. I'm stuck using this thing as cursed to try to understand the things that can't be understood by the thing that's cursed.
Yeah, but
I understand that, but I have no other thing in my head. There's no other way for me to do it if I didn't have this thing that's cursed.
Yeah, but my point is to have the integrity not to stop.
Okay, cool.
That's what is required for empathy.
Yeah. I can dig it. I do understand.
It's the same. It's exactly the same with sexual fantasies. You have a fantasy and you fantasize it to the point of having an orgasm, but then you don't wake up with that person. And you don't have, you know, it's just an illusion. But it's the same with all of your ideas. Gary even, or since we're picking on Gary this morning, Gary even had a great idea folder.
Big idea.
My God in heaven.
Big and great ideas.
Huh?
Big and great ideas.
But it sounds funny, but it's I mean, I'm glad he did it for others' benefit, but
I understand the point of that too, is that we have plans that we want to do, and we have no real intention of ever getting started on, but we can kind of play with them, you know, they're fun to think about. I understand the point of that.
Okay, well then you understand the only thing that your mind can do is bring you to the point that your sin is a scarlet. Come now, let us reason together. That's as high as you can go with reason. It's chaos. But people stop before they get to chaos.
No, I
protect the image.
And that also has to do with what you're talking about in intellect. I have this vision in my head that suggests that the entire universe is like a paint droplet dripping down a wall, you know, that's enormously huge. And, you know, that's the beginning of time to the end of time. It's just, you know, you're eventually going to be painted over. It's not even going to be seen anymore. So
that's right.
It doesn't really do you any advantage to be as smart as you can be about this tiny little paint drop on a wall.
Two of the teenagers that there are actually three, they have, all of them have had some form of this thought process, that they're living in the world they're living in is an illusion. And there's an evil controller that is in control of everything, and his purpose is to hurt them and make them feel some way, you know. What better illusion? My God, that's the Holy Spirit working on them. Because that's not an illusion, that's the truth. Is there some place you have to go?
No, I'm stretching.
No, you were looking at the clock.
Yeah, well.
About time to wrap it up.
About time to wrap it up.
Oh, gosh.
I think we're going to stop morning Bible study.
You said enough of it. We understand.
Take it, big guy.